This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's a give and study. We won't add study. I believe if we'll study, we can be all that God has called us to be. Today I want to talk to you about a house that will stand. And I believe that we, as Christians, we ought to be the strongest and the most bright and shining and give the greatest picture of what a house looks like for the kingdom of God. This temple, this vessel that God has given us. And I believe that if we do the things I'm talking about today, that we can do that. If you have your Bible, I want to turn with me to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Matthew 7. And we will begin reading with verse 21. Matthew 7 and verse 21. Good to have all of our visitors today with us. Good to see Nikki and Roger and have them back home today. It's been a while, and talked to Roger, or he called the other day on the phone, and so it's good to see you kids and your children again today. Matthew 7 and verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. You notice it says you can say one thing and be something else. And so it says not everyone that says will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of the Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I would declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Something about doing God's word. He said it'll make you wise and you'll build your house on the rock. Verse 25, then the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. You can tell what a house is founded on when the storms come. Did you ever notice that? It's hard to tell what a house is made of when everything's going good. But when difficult times come and stress, there's chance to stress, the opportunity, if you will, to stress out, we can see what a house is made of. And he said, the rain's going to come, and I want you to know this, and I'll probably repeat it, but even if you build a strong house, the rain and the winds and the storms are still going to come. Doesn't mean you're going to be exempt from storms. What it means is God's going to help you weather the storm that you're going through. I mean, knows every old house has storms. Every house has storms. We serve God and we do His will because when they come, we want to stand firm and we don't want to change. We should be just like this as Christians. Good times, bad times. We serve the same God. We're headed to the same place. We got the same mansion that He's prepared for us. Nothing has changed. That's really important. Amen. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So everyone that hears God's word and does not do the word will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell. So the same storm, same trial, same test, but this house would not stand. And it said, and great was its fall. Now, I want to preach on something this morning that I've never taught on before. I preached on the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and their trial and their storm and how they stood. They were a great example of a strong house, even in the fire. They said, our God is able, but even if He does not deliver us from the fire, He will deliver us from your hand. And I can relate that. that sometimes, even if he doesn't deliver me from this trial, this sickness, this whatever has come about, but he will deliver me from the hand of the enemy. How many knows what he's talking about here? Sometimes he don't deliver us from, he delivers us through. We go through the fire, but he'll be with us to the end. So I preached on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I preached about the three wise men, or that's what we call them, because there's gold, frankincense, and myrrh, so we think there was three of them. We really don't know how many wise men they were, but everybody that was seeking Jesus in that group, if there's 3 or 40, they were wise, weren't they, to seek Jesus Christ. Saw a bumper sticker one time said, "Wise men still seek him." And I preached on Peter, James, and John before. I preached on the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this morning, we're going to go a little deeper. I want to preach to you about the three little pigs. Welcome, visitors. This is as deep as it gets around here. The three little pigs. It just thrilled me the other day when I was studying, and I thought about the scenario and how we're like the three little pigs, and I thought, that'll preach. Remember a year or so ago I preached on Rudolph. He had a problem. Remember, he had a shiny nose. What's your problem? He had a problem. None of the reindeers would let him play in their reindeer games. Who is it that won't let you play in their games, you know, and we went. But I've never preached on the three little pigs. But I want to refresh your mind, because it's been a while since I heard the story. And some of you sitting out there with silver hair or little hair, I think I need to remind you today. There was three little pigs. They were brothers, and they decided to build their house. And so they built the house. The first one, you remember, built his house out of straw. It was quick, it was easy, and then the second one built his house out of sticks, and the third one built his house out of brick, which represented stability and it's more cost, but he built his house out of brick. And then, remember what the story went, as they were enjoying their new homes, who came along? The big, bad wolf. I mean, knows there is such a thing in the spiritual world. He's called Satan, or demonic activity. And so we have a big, bad wolf to shun. And he's coming to your house. And if you think he's not, just wait. Some of you think maybe if you get more spiritual, if you press in, he won't come. But he still will come, because he really is aggravated when he sees us winning souls and giving to needs and blessing other people. But the thing is, it will not penetrate us like it would if we build our house out of straw. So keep working and keep going and keep praying through. Remember, the last trial that Jesus had was when he was on his face and he was praying, and his sweat became as great drops of blood. He said, "Father, if this cup can pass, let it pass." His last trial. And he heard from God, and God said, "No, this trial cannot pass, son, but you'll go through this trial." And he said, "It is enough." And he got up off of the ground and dusted off his robe and went to Calvary for you and me. So he wasn't delivered from it, and some of them you won't be delivered from. But so the big bad wolf comes, and he says to the little pig, he says, little pig, let me in. And remember what the little pig said? Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin, which in the Greek means no way, Jose. Or something like that. And so he rushes over to his brother's house, and luckily he gets out of his straw house. But you ever notice people that build straw houses are always headed towards somebody that's more stable? Do you draw people like that are unstable, and they're at your doorstep when they're going through things, and you're thinking, how long are you going to build straw houses? And why don't you build a brick house? And you try to tell them about spiritual brick and mortar so they can build this house that's going to stand, and they won't always be up and down and floating and crying. And we all have traumatic times. There's major events, and we want to be there for each other and whatever we're going through. And it's not wrong to call, but it's wrong when we call about the same old thing week after week. I mean, notice when we go through something, it's time to change what you're doing so you have different results. And so if you're struggling with the same battle, the same struggles as you did last year, there's something wrong, and you need to identify, you need to confess it, and get it out, and get over it. I got a sign on my desk and it says, get over it. I've had people tell me, I thought you bought that for me when they come in my office. I bought it for all of us because we all have things to get over. And we'll always have things to get over going through this life. And so he goes to his little brother's house or his brother's house and with it is more secure. And remember what happens? The big bad wolf just follows him. You can't get away from trouble. He may blow your house down and you may try to leave and neglect and act like it's not, nothing's happened and put your head in the sand. But how many knows the big bad wolf's not going away as long as we're in this physical body? And so he follows him to his brother's house and he says, little pig, let me in. And what did he say? Not by the hair of my chinny, chin, chin. See, he had a good confession. But let me tell you something, a good confession is no good unless your walls are built out of right stuff. You can get up and rebuke all you want to and tell the enemy no, but if your house is not built out of proper material, it's not going to do you any good. All you've got is a confession. That's why positive thinking alone is not really worth its salt, because positive thinking alone will not change things. Positive thinking is a good thing, but I'm telling you, it takes more than positive thinking. It takes being rooted and grounded in the Word so when the storms come, you don't fall. That's some good preaching at the end of this year. Good preaching. So he comes in and he says, no way, which in the Greek means what? No way, no way. We're not going to let you in. And so he huffs and he puffs, and sure enough, the sticks will not hold. And so he blew the house down, and both of them escaped luckily and went to the little pig's house that had the brick house. And as I mentioned a while ago, when you even though you're in the brick house, it's built scripturally, you got a good foundation, the enemy will come. Because for a long time I used to think, once I started growing spiritually and I'd have battles, I would think, man, am I sinning? Am I doing something wrong? And finally God taught me, no, you don't have to, it's always good to check yourself, your motives, your heart, and everything. But we don't have to, when something comes our way, it has nothing to do necessarily with how we're living. If we're living right and we're doing what God has commanded us to do, we're keeping the commandments, we're everything that says thou shalt not, we're not doing. And we're loving people and being an example and all, and storms come, they're just coming. It's not because of you and what you've done and what you've been through. It's just because they come sometimes. Sometimes they come because God is bragging on you. Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him on the planet. Righteous man, fears God, and shuns evil. And then here it goes. Watch out. But Job built his house out of brick, didn't he? I mean, he stood, didn't he? Even when his wife says, why don't you just curse God and die? And I don't think Miss Job was a bad person. I think her house was just not built the way Job's was built. And when this enemy comes to the same couple, they have different responses because their house evidently is built out of different material. Job said, he fell on his face and worshipped. And Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's different material there. That's good stuff there. When you can fall on your face and worship God in the midst of chaos and tell him, I know my Redeemer lives. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's good material there. That's the proper response when the enemy comes and blows your house down. And so here he is, and they're at the little pig's house that's out of brick. And when they get to his house and the big bad wolf comes, he's coming to the brick house just like he did to the straw and to the stick. But when he got there, it was a different result, wasn't it? He said, little pigs, let me in. And they said, not by the hair of our chinny, chin, 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 chins. See, they're confessing now, but they're in the right place now to confess. Listen to me. You got to be in the right house before your confession is any good. They overbrought. brother's house now. They're over there, the guy that's why some people call on you and lean on you in times of trial, because they know what your house is made out of. That's a compliment, in case you didn't know it. Somebody calls you when times of trouble, that's a compliment to you. That they know you've got the right brick and the right stuff built in your house. That's why you get calls. Some of you don't get calls. That's why you don't get calls. Nobody ever calls me. Well, start working a little more on that house. Now, I want to give you... Anyway, he huffs and he puffs, and he could not blow the house down. So finally, he just walked off. You know, he's through because he could not penetrate the house. And that's the kind of house we want to build. And let me give you some illustrations here. I believe the first little pig, probably built his house out of straw because maybe it was plentiful. You know, there's plenty of straw. You just go out in the field and cut it and just stack it. You know, it's just right there. Another reason probably was because it's cheap. How many knows the grace that you and I enjoy was not cheap? It might be easy for me and you to receive it, but it was not cheap. It cost God His Son, and it cost Jesus His life. The grace that was given for me and you was not cheap. Now, we may act like it's cheap the way we live, but I'm telling you, the grace that was given for me and you was not cheap. It cost. I heard a story about a man that was going to work in the salt mines, and he said, "Well, how are we going to get up and down in the mines?" And the guy said, "Well, we've got an elevator." And he said, "Well, how does that work?" And he said, "You just get on the elevator, and it takes you down into the salt mine, and when you're through at the end of the day," he said, "you just hop on the elevator and it brings you out." And the guy said, "Man, I don't think I want to ride that. That's no cost. It's, you know, it's cheap. I don't trust it." And the guy said, "It's only cheap to you. It's not cheap to the one that put it in. It cost us thousands and thousands of dollars to put this in, to get you to where you need to go and get you back." And that's the way grace of God is. It bankrupt heaven for you and I to have the grace that God has given us. So it's not cheap. Brick and mortar will cost you more, but the rewards are much greater. See, and we want to be, we build straw houses, and because it's cheap, it's easier. And so I call the straw house, you can build a straw house if you want to. I call it the house of convenience. The house of convenience. That's what a straw house is. And you see Christians trying to build house of convenience. A straw house. And how you can tell it's a straw house, whenever the storm comes and the trials come, the fruits of the Spirit vanish. How many knows you can tell a house or a thing by the fruit of it? If it's a good peach tree, there's peaches hanging on it at the proper season. If it's a good apple tree, there's apples hanging all over it at the proper time. And the Bible says you can know a thing by its fruit. And when the trials and tests comes, if you built a straw house, there'll be no peace in your house. There'll be no joy in your house. There'll be no self-control in your house. There'll be no fruits of the Spirit in your house. Because it's a house of convenience. In other words, we read when we want to. When we feel like it. It's a walk of convenience. We pray when we get around to it. You can do that, but you can't do it without the cost. You can't do it without reaping what you sow. And we don't like reaping what we sow when we reap so convenience. Because it's cheap. It's easy, but it won't get us the life that we want. It won't get us the life we want. And convenience, what we do a lot of times is we a convenient house says, "I'll push everything to the side. If anything's got to be pushed aside, I'll push everything to the side, spiritual. In my reading, my studying, my praying, my giving. If anything has to give, you know, Christmas time, did you bless your family or did you bless Jesus first and then bless your family? I'm I'm just talking about a house of convenience. Do you give if it's convenient? If you don't give if it's not convenient, that's a house of convenience. And you can do that, but that's the way you'll receive finances. When it's convenient, just sporadically. But if you just start sowing faithfully in your giving, then you'll reap faithfully in your receiving. Now, one of the things I didn't tell you about our finances this year, we've gave more than we ever have, but it's probably our getting, our receiving was down lower than it's been in a long time as well, the last couple of years, and it's just been month to month, hadn't been late on a payment, hadn't missed anything, but it's just been nip and tuck, and so we decided just to give more. We just need to give more. And you say, but if it's tight, how could you give more? I don't know how all that works. It's called faith. It's not called convenience, I know that. In fact, what we did at the end of the year, I called and I talked to Philip and I said, Philip, what do you think about maybe putting a little bit out of our general fund onto this last offering we took for Life Outreach International? And he said, well, I think that's a good idea. You can't outgive God. And so we put some in there, and it returned the next Sunday 100-fold. How to make a Baptist shout. Pentecostal shout. Presbyterian shout. But we gave just a little extra so we could receive and open the windows of heaven. I thought, how many times have we not given just that little extra and missed the blessing? It went on by. Because we thought we just couldn't reach, we couldn't stretch, we couldn't do, we couldn't be a blessing. And we kidding Tubbs about not doing his drum solo, but you know what? There's something powerful about whatever your talent is, and I want to encourage all of you. Every one of us have some kind of a drum solo that we play. You know, I don't know what your drum is. Mine's preaching and teaching and all, but whatever your drum, play it when you have opportunity. Because you never know when the blessing will walk on by. Because we decided we couldn't use it, didn't want to use it, and what have you. So I call the straw house the house of convenience. It's built off feelings, very little discipline. In fact, I've had three good friends in the last 5, 6, 7 years. Well, one of them's longer than that. Last 10 years, I guess, have died. At age between 51 and 52 with a massive heart attack. The last one's just recently, a few days ago, because they neglected their health. Because it was easier not to. Listen, in all the areas that we live, in our, we have a spiritual house, and that's what I've been talking to you about, is our spiritual house, and making being disciplined in this, and not being a convenient Christian because you build straw houses when it's convenient. But I watched them, and it's because it's convenient, more convenient not to exercise, and more convenient to eat grease than not eat grease, and I watched them really get larger than they should. And all three of them suffered consequences, of which was death, a massive heart attack. If you're an apple like me, they say you're higher at risk. Apple means you're heavy from here up. Pears are heavy from here down. And you pears may waddle around and look like, but you're a lot safer than us apples. Because apples have fat around our hearts. So if you're apple like me, especially if you're over 50, we are high risk if we don't exercise and watch what we eat. I got tickled at Cliff the other night. I didn't say anything, but he said, you need to eat all this food and get it out of my house because I will devour it. Now, you don't have that problem. I thought, if you only knew, Bubba. Man, we got home last night and I polished off the last pink coated cookie that Jana brought home. I said, man, I've saved you. I got rid of that thing. It's out of our house now. So if you come to our house this evening between 4 and 8, and visitors, you all are welcome as well, then you come and devour my food, okay? Eat it all up, and don't eat a big lunch, so you can come and eat our food today. But you can build a body of convenience, but you can't build a body of convenience without it hurting you. I know we don't want to hear that one, especially when we're coming to eat today at my house. But I'm telling you, you can do it. I pulled off about 30 pounds a couple years ago, and I've kept it off. But I don't do it without struggle. It's not convenient for me to keep it off. It's discipline that keeps it off. It's discipline. Exercising. I can't make it to the gym all the time. So if I can't make it to the gym, I've got little weights at home. And let me know, if you can't make it to the gym, do it at home. It's called discipline. Finances is the same way. You can build a house of straw in your finances, but how many knows it'll always be sporadic and chaotic at your house. And finances, I'm going to tell you, if you don't get your finances in order, it's been the bankruptcy of a lot of marriages. Because when finances are tight and tough and it's stressful. In another area is our relationships. We want to build straw houses in our relationships. And I'm telling you, you can, you know. In other words, a straw house in a relationship would be, well, I'm not forgiving them. Or I'm not, you know, they're not, I'm not talking to them. That's straw. That won't build good relationships. And so we can, but it's a life of convenience. And we'll never reap the things we want to reap. Building a house of convenience. You know, if you want to come to church when it's convenient. You look around and I see several families going this morning and I thought, it was convenient this morning. In fact, I thought, if I wasn't the pastor, I might stay home today. My wife said to me after I got up, she said, what time is it? And I told her what time it was. She said, it's still dark outside. And I thought, I wonder how many couples had that conversation this morning. Did you have that conversation this morning? Yeah, a few of us. And the rest of you liars. It's harder. It's harder to get out of bed when it's still dark and it's cold and it's rainy and it's dreary and say, man, we could sit home and bake a big breakfast and have some coffee or hot chocolate and sit around and watch TV. And you know, we could go to church next Sunday. That's convenient, isn't it? That's convenient. And you can do it all you want, but you can't do it and build a strong house. It's not a house that the enemy's not going to come and blow over somewhere. And you try to be an example and show individuals that this is how I build my house, that then I'm the same when I'm going through this or that, and that's why you come to me. And you know, but it's just like they can't get past the convenient part. And then the stick house. The stick house is, you know, I think the stick house, they got a good foundation of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is their Savior and Lord, and they're going to heaven and all, but I think the seed that I gave for the stick house is compromise. It's a little more than convenience, but it's compromise. And we all struggle with it. We had one of our prayer partners come to prayer this morning and said, you know, I've just been kind of compromising. And I thought, you know, we all do that. We have struggles with compromise. And here's what we have to remember. Our drift is always away from commitment. We don't never drift into commitment. It's always the other way. And so that's why we have to realign. That's why I'm going to talk to you in the month of January about our focus. You know, every year we go back to these little cards right here. Our little purpose statement and our mission statement. I mean, they're simple, you know? I mean, our purpose statement, get lost people found and hurting people healthy and move them into community with other believers. That's easy, isn't it? But boy, it's hard, isn't it? Because the drift... And something else catches our attention out there, and something else catches our attention, and then we have, and then life passes us by with all these school activities. Nothing wrong with school activities, but you know, we have to be careful because there's so many things bidding for your time. I gave you a phrase a while back, maybe some of you wrote it down, some of you didn't, but said there's a lot of things that'll catch your eye, but there's only a few things that'll catch your heart. Those are the things you should pursue. Pursue the things that catch your heart. Because there's a lot of things that's going to catch your eye. But I think that stick house is what too many Christians make their homes out of, is compromise. We want to have a get-by religion. We can, you know, it's kind of like with the IRS and the loopholes. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to IRS, I ask my bookkeeper, is it legal? Well, yeah, kind of. Well, I'll go to prison. You know, I mean, I don't want to pay any more taxes than I have to, right? You don't want to pay if it's legal. But that works for the IRS because that's legal deductions. But that doesn't work in the Bible. That doesn't work with when we're talking about Scripture. Just, you know, well, can I do this? Is it morally right? Can I do this and be okay? You know, that's compromising Christianity. And it will not build a strong. It's better than a convenient, because convenient is kind of whatever. But compromise says, I want to be in the loop, but I just want to be on the line. Kind of like when your kid, did your kid ever push you to the line? Well, all of you have angels at home, right? Never. They all say, yes, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. No, Mommy. Thank you, Mommy. Yeah. And so they push us to the line, and that's the way we are in Christianity sometimes with our compromising house, our stick house. If you treat me right, I'll treat you right. Is that what the Bible says? No. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But we want to say, well, if they didn't call me, I just won't call them. They don't like me, I just don't like them. And we think that's okay. It's a house of compromise. I'm not doing bad, but I'm not doing good, per se. Well, I make $500 a week, so I'll give $5. That'll be my tithe. How many knows that's bad math and bad teaching? And don't call $5 a tithe. It's $50 is a tithe. Just thank God you might give a tithe of a tithe if you give five, but don't call it a tithe. See, it's compromise. And in whatever area that you struggle with, because we all have different areas of struggle, but not compromising. Because we can have a stick house that looks good on the outside, it's built with some substance, but it's not going to stand when the real test comes. We all know Christians that's just been, when the ultimate test came, they just faded out in the sunset somewhere. You call them and they say, well, you know, I just can't cope and I can't do, and we'll come on back and we'll help you, and no, and you thought they were a lot better off than they were, but this building, this compromising house, one of these days catches up with us. Don't compromise. Don't compromise. And then the last one on the brick house, and the C I use for the brick house is commitment. Because there's no shortcut, is there? When we're building a spiritual house, it's going to stand, and so it's just commitment. Commitment to pray, commitment to read, commitment to give, commitment to do ministry. You either do it or you don't. Let me tell you, some of you that stay home from ministry, all of us have excuses. You think you're the only one that's got your excuse and you're going through stuff. Let me tell you, the best way to get your house in order is just come and do your part. Just show up and do it. Every Sunday that I'm here doesn't mean that I hadn't fought some really heavy spiritual battles. It's just that I know where I'm supposed to be on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. Throw away your compromising excuses. We all got them. We could share ours with you and you could share yours with us. We all have them. Make it a new year. Just quit voting about church every Sunday. Say, I'm going to go to the house of God on Sunday. Anybody in my house want to go with me? But don't ask me Sunday if I'm going. Just because, no, I'm going. I had to have that speech about 20 years ago. Because we did that every Sunday. You want to go today? I don't know. Devil's up there. Vote. Come on. Vote. 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 Holy Spirit saying, that's the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. But you can't hear that if you're building a house of compromise or straw. All you can hear is the other opposing voice. This bed sure feels good. Maybe it's cold outside. Sleep, sleep, wonderful sleep. coming to you and to me. Sleep over my pillow all the day long.
Yeah.
You've heard the song, haven't you? We got so many areas to compromise in. You know, people get on the internet and say, well, you know, it was, this pornography is just there. I've never just seen it there. Maybe you're visiting the wrong sites. And if it hints of it, get off. Well, nobody knows. Yeah, God knows. The only one that counts knows. He knows. But it's a house of compromise. Now, the brick house is commitment. The brick house is discipline. The brick house is the extra mile. I tell you, the happiest Christians on the planet are those that go the extra mile. You know who the ones that extra mile are? They're the ones that show up when they feel bad. That's the ones that show up when they're just dragging. Kiss came in this morning. She's just hobbling. She says, weather just got my arthritis, you know, or something stirred up. I thought, you know, it would have been easy and convenient to stay home, but she was at her post this morning singing praises to her God and leading you all in the presence of the Lord. We all benefit from Christians that says, I'm not building a house of convenience anymore. I'm not building a house compromise anymore. I'm going to build a house of commitment. People around you will benefit, not just you, because you're reaping benefits that look like Jesus and makes you look more like Jesus than you did yesterday. But that's the brick house. It's a house of commitment and discipline, and it's built by the specifications of this right here. It's more than compromise is legalism. Well, you know, if it says I shall not, then I won't. If it says thou shalt, I will. But that's it. That's Pharisees. Remember what they, I've tithe on everything, and I fast, and I do all this stuff. And all it was legalism. And you can do it all with legalism, but going the extra mile says I'll have the attitude and the heart to go along with the written word. I'll look like Jesus along with speaking like Jesus. That's called the brick house. And the enemy cannot penetrate that house. And when the storms come, the fruit of God is still obvious and evident and flowing inside of you. I believe as Christians we can reach a place where it no longer affects our outer countenance because of the such of a joy and the well that's springing up and flowing out through us that it's hard for people to tell. You ever been going through a trial and somebody said, well, I didn't even know. And I say, well, hallelujah. Now, if you're sick, need prayer, tell them. We're sick and we need prayer. You're going through a battle and you need prayer. There's nothing wrong with that, but I'm just saying the just shall live by faith. Faith says, I know what's going on out here, but I know my Redeemer lives. Faith says, it may be, hell may be going on all around me, but the peace and the joy of God is going on the inside of me. It's a peace that passes understanding. Excuse me while I shout. And you learn to shout in the midst of trials. You learn to smile and say pleasant things in the midst of trials. Jan and I have been married 34 years. It's 152 husband years. You better take that out of the thing in case she gets a take. And it's still work. We have a great relationship, but I'm telling you, it's still work. Yesterday, we was kind of picking it a little bit. And I said, you sure are pretty. I felt like saying, you sure are selfish sometimes. But I thought, I'm going to focus on the good. And I said, you sure are pretty. And she said, thank you. I'm the man of my house. I initiate peace and prosperity in my home. And you got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away. And I reversed the process, and we had a good evening. Listen, I want to close with something. I have a little company, it's called New Life Homes, and we go around and buy a house here and there and restore them. And take an old house that nobody really wants, and because it's ugly. It's you've seen the sign, we buy ugly houses. That's, I don't know who owns that, but that's a man of or person of vision. That's one of the things that Jesus had inside of him was vision. He could go around and see dilapidated people and he'd say, there's worth in you, there's worth in you, there's something worth saving in you. And he'd go around and touch them. And he'd draw the good out of them. And that's what we do with these old houses. We'll take an old house that's rotted and, you know, sagging here and there, and bedroom floor maybe caved in or something. And it's gratifying to see the end product to me. To add color and life and new strength. And one of the things I've learned, though, when you have a section of a house, it's a floor, a wall, or something, and the wood is rotten, you can't repair that rotten spot. And if you try to repair and nail to and fix over the rotten spot, it's always going to be weak. Now, there may be a little patch or something on a strong wall, and you might smooth that over, but if it's this big area or a vital area that's rotten, you have to take it out. Or the whole house is just not right. Now, the temptation is it rotten enough to take out? Will they ever know? Michael has been ill, and so I had a kid come out the other day that helped on the house, and he said, you know, I said, you ought to do this. You just got a great personality and good work ethic and all. And he said, I just have to fix them up just like brand new, and I'd have to replace everything like I did my house. He did one that he lived in. I said, no, you would not. After the first house, you lost money. It gets easier. You fix them. Here's what you have to do. You have to fix them where it's right. But you have to fix them where you can make profit. Or you can't do it. You can't fix them. But here's my point. When you're trying to build a house, and I'm trying to build this house, we have to make sure that if something is rotten inside, we don't try to build on that. Here's what I know about rotten. When you pull out a piece of rotten wood, it's messy, it's nasty, it's spongy, it's hard to get out and cut all that stuff out. You're a mess when you get it all cut out, but it's necessary. Kind of like going to the hospital. You ever go to the hospital and you felt bad, and then you got there and you feel worse after they get through with you? But they got to get the rotten out. They got to get the junk out that's trying to kill you. And so they cut it and they pull it out, and they help make you better and stronger in the long run. Let me tell you something. If you've compromised for so long, and if you've had convenience for so long, then you've got some rotten wood inside that you got to get out first, or you'll never get better. And there's no shortcuts. There's no easy way to do that. You just got to say, this is a rotten piece of wood. It could be pride. You know, pride's like a big rotten piece of wood in your house. Well, I'll show them. You can, but you can't do it without a price. You can't do it and expect your house to stand in the storm. See, I could have let pride the other day when we were kind of nipping at each other. I could have followed that along because I'm a pretty good, I do pretty good in arguing. I can hold my own. If you ever want to argue, just come on. If I have time. I like to debate anything, don't you? Isn't it fun just to debate? I like to debate with people that will love me when we're through. Staunchly disagree, but we just love each other when we're through. Don't change your attitude toward me, you know, because I just believe that's where we need to get to. We can get mad at each other, or we can give reproof or whatever, and just still be loving. Because it's just, that's what we are. To model Christ's love, that's on our mission statement. motto, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, when you have love one for another. That will build a strong house that will stand the test of time. God is love. The first two commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. It's the hardest commandment I believe in the Bible. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's tough. Some of you say, you just don't know my neighbor's Jesus. Yes, he does. He put you there. But you can't leave the rotten stuff in. If it's not working and it's been a long time, let me tell you, there's something rotten in your house. Because it's not supposed to be that way. And you got to remove the rotten part or the whole house becomes weak. And I wish it wasn't so hard to tell you, but there's no easy way around it. You just got to get rid of the rotten stuff. Immorality. Anything that's immoral, it's rotten. It'll bring the house down. You cannot keep... Unforgiveness. If you got unforgiveness in your heart, I don't care how much praying and studying and reading and practicing that you do of the Bible, I'm telling you, your house will not stand with unforgiveness. God says, if you don't forgive, I can't forgive you. And it cuts off the power of the Holy Spirit from us. You cannot allow unforgiveness in your house. It's rotten wood. How do I get over it? Here's how I get over it. When I feel like, you know, there's times I still don't want to forgive people, you know, just doing stupid stuff. They get mad at you and lie and stuff. That's hard. I hadn't had it in a long time, but you know, it's still hard when somebody, you know, says something critical that I know is not true or whatever. But you say this is how you get over it. You get the rotten stuff out. You quit saying what you feel and you start saying what the Bible says. I love them in Jesus' name. I speak blessing over them in the name of Jesus. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. I forgive them in Jesus' name. I don't feel it right now, but I'm not worried about my feelings. I'm getting the rotten stuff out in the name of Jesus. Feelings have come along because faith has spoken. And I'm standing on God's Word. I'm building my house. And I'm forgiving in Jesus' name. I release them and all that they have done. And all they owe me. Somebody owes you money and you got something in your heart against them. Just forgive them. Forgive them. Tell them it's no longer a loan. It's a gift. I just release it. You know, if you're having trouble with it, if it don't bother you, then it's okay. But if there's something that's eating on you, then get over it. You can't build a house that looks like Jesus and is full of love and peace and joy and kindness and self-control and all the fruits of the Spirit. That's the best message I ever heard on the three little pigs. You didn't know the three little pigs knew so much, did you? I didn't until God gave it to me. But let's, 2007, let's build a house out of brick and mortar. Let's put together with this. If it isn't in here, then we don't want it. If it's in here, then we're going to do it in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this great illustration that you've given to me and to this congregation today. We ask in Jesus' name that this will motivate us to say, you know what, God, examine my heart today. I don't want anything inside of me that doesn't look like Jesus. I don't want immoral thoughts. I don't want pride or unforgiveness. I don't want to gossip. I don't want a lying tongue. I don't want bitter feelings. I don't want anything inside of me that's going to bring my house down in storms and trials. I wanted to build and develop a house that looks like Jesus Christ. That is our prayer today. And for 2007, I pray in Jesus' name that that will be our goal and our heart's desire. You said you give us the desires of our heart to build us a house that's full of Jesus, that is put together with Scripture, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. A house that's rid of all the flesh, all the carnality. A house that will stand and weather the storms. the kind of house that Job had, as we see this beautiful picture of a man that everything around him was destroyed, including his physical body. And we saw the fruit of Jesus coming out of him, the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit coming from Job. Help us to build that kind of a house in the name of Jesus. A house that will stand, a house that will be a light on a hill in the times of storm and testing. Help us to be extra mile Christians, not convenient Christians or compromising Christians. So we can reap the benefits and be the blessing that you've called us to be. We can reach the people that you've called us to reach and present the gospel to people that you've called us to present the gospel to. To be faithful in our ministries. To be prompt and to be expectant in what you've called us and given us to do. Use us for your glory. As you build a house in us that looks like Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.